Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pub Quiz Pod. Jake, how are you?
I'm really well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, very well. I want to, with this bit of intro, I wanted to actually give a bit of love back to one of our quizmasters.
Okay, how much love are you giving?
A lot of it.
I can smell it.
Yeah. But remember the Alex Franklin episode?
Oh, yeah.
We had the quizmaster Dean send in his quiz. Now,
you had a bit of a redemption arc with Dean, didn't you? Because it sort of unlocked him. You sort of, for the whole thing, you were thinking, gosh, I don't know why, but the name Dean really riles me. And then you sort of suddenly realised, oh, you were mugged off by a Dean at school?
I was my AA nicked my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Not that I don't collect Yu-Gi-Ohs now or anything. I didn't really at school, but he nicked them. So Dean, who did one of our quizmasters, who does the Mucky Duck in Brighton, he actually has a game published, which he sent to me.
What a guy.
Really nice guy.
I just love that this podcast has enabled you, A, to unlock a memory about the fact a bloke called Dean nicked your Yu-Gi-Oh cards when you were in school.
Yeah.
And now you no longer walk around, because I imagine you're walking around meeting people called Dean and just sort of scowling at them in fury.
Yeah.
And now you're sort of a pen pal with a guy called Dean now?
Oh, I love him.
He
love
just sends
him.
You stuff in what the post. Guy.
It was great, and it's a great game. It's a proper game. It's not just something he's made himself.
Well, he'll send you a game. Sorry. You send him some knickers, you're fine.
Well, he has made it himself, but it's like you can buy it in shops and stuff. So it's called The Fast and the Curious. It's not a paid advert. This is just...
I just really like the bloke.
Giving a bit of love to Dean here. So what a guy. So I think we should take the opportunity to say thank you to our quizmasters far who sent stuff in. And if you are a quizmaster or know someone who is a quizmaster or know someone who knows someone who is a quizmaster and they might want to be on the podcast, please get them to send it in.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Dean. Like Liam says, keep sending your quizzes in. And if you're lucky, you might be in a sort of back and forth of posting stuff to Liam's address and him sending you stuff back.
Yeah,
it's quite a lovely thing.
Yeah. He has got my address now, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying.
I tell you what. We've got an incredible guest today. I'm really excited for this. We've got a proper big guest. Proper big guest. Some would say the biggest guest we've had on the podcast. Some would say maybe not the biggest guest. And that person would be Will Best, probably.
Who is now the second biggest guest we've had on the podcast.
But it is the amazing Maisie Adam.
Maisie Adam. I mean, that is a proper TV comedian.
Proper telecomedian. She's done it all. She's also, I think, we're going to be able to mine her mind for sport, pop culture. She just seems like the sort of person who just knows a lot about a lot.
Yeah.
So let's go over and meet her.
Let's go and meet Maisie.
Joining our pub quiz team this week is a comedian who is one of the biggest names on the circuit, not to mention a regular face on our screens on the likes of Live at the Apollo, A League of Their Own, and the Big Fat Quiz of the Year. It's Maisie Adam, everyone.
Thank you very much.
What an intro.
Thank you. What an intro.
What a lineup. You've done every
that
show
was
on
terrifying.
Television.
I was like, who have you got?
Looking around. You just need to do Game of Thrones and you've done them all.
Honestly, yeah, that's the big one. That's the big one. I took House of Games thinking it was the same thing.
How was House of Games? How was Osmond?
Turned up with a sword. Very much the wrong vibe.
I think that's one of the prizes, isn't it? The Richard Osmond House of Games sword.
I love the prizes on that because they're really, really naff. Like, it's a fondue set or like, what did I win? Oh, I won a deck chair.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won 4 out of 5 and I got a deck chair, a cocktail shaker thing, a fondue set, and a decanter, yeah. And I'd just moved into my flat with my husband at the time. We didn't have any furniture. So, like, you know when you move in, it's that lovely, like, first night, and you're like, oh, sat having pizza on the floor, plugged in the telly, that's all we had. And then we were like, do we have any furniture? And all we had was a deck chair with Richard Osmond's face on it for, like, a week. So every night we'd be like, whose turn is it to have the deck chair?
Furnished by Richard Osmond.
Yeah.
Some people have like an IKEA house. You had an Osmond house.
Yeah.
Just him leaving
my
over
flat
you everywhere.
Was the house of games. Yeah, it was quite horrific.
Did you have to take it all back on the train with you? Was that?
No, thankfully they post it to you.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I just imagine you sort of leaving the studio.
Oh my God,
fondue set under one arm.
I know, because it's filmed in Glasgow and I live in Brighton. Just a 6-hour train journey with a deck chair. No, thankfully not.
Osman is the. I mean, he's top tier quizmaster, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got big quizmaster energy.
Big quizmaster energy.
Yeah.
So you did well on House of Games.
Did all right.
I'm getting the sense you're a good quizzer, Maisie.
I bloody love a quiz.
You do love a quiz.
I love a quiz, guys.
Do you get the chance to go to a pub quiz regularly?
Yeah, we've just started going to the one at the end of our road. I've ended up where, like, I live in Brighton with my husband. My brother and his fiance live 2 streets away. And 2 streets further than that, and my mum and dad, who've moved down because they were always just coming down to Brighton to visit us anyway. So it's really weird. I'm not from there, but now all my family are there. So we go every Monday to a pub quiz. I love it.
Do you win?
Do you know, we've won so far 2 and then out of 5, and we've come third or second in the other ones.
You've very much been the Liverpool of the...
Yeah, very much so, very much so. There's us and another team in the pub that do very well, but they're very, very good.
Right.
They're very, very good.
Man City,
yeah. Yeah. They're all part of the Brighton Gay Men's Choir, right? And they are very, very cohesive. You can tell those guys get together and train.
Yeah,
right. Do you know what I mean?
They're a unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They turn up with their leather pencil cases, it's all branded.
I'm
uniforms.
Beginning to think some of the songs they sing in their sessions might be just quizzes, just revising. They've got such a breadth of knowledge in that choir.
Question, tell me what you think about
yeah,
me.
Lovely. I think so, genuinely.
That was nice.
That was really beautiful.
But the question
is, are you in the choir?
Yeah, we do a quiz on a Wednesday. The question is, which Maisie are we going to get? Are we going to get the Maisie of House of Games fame? Or are we going to get the...
Oh my God, I know where you're going, you bastards. You bastards.
Or are we... Yeah, I can't believe we do research on this podcast.
No.
Or are we going to get the Maisie of ITV's The Chase?
The bane of
what happened?
Life.
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I took the minus offer and lost. But, like, can I just tell you why I took the minus offer? Because, like, I feel like I had a lot of judgment for taking that. So I got $3,000 in the cash builder, yeah? Then I was asked, do you want to take, I think it was $60,000
wow,
to go
okay.
up, or minus 300. Now, I was third in the lineup.
Yep.
The first person had come home taking the middle offer, let's say $4,000 in the pot. Then this woman, I think her name was Mary or Sheila.
For context, this was not like Celebrity Chase.
No,
this
no, no.
Was, this was long before the comedy. This was.
Were you
in 2017, I think. Yeah, I was a student at uni, and my friend applied for Catchphrase, and I applied for The Chase, and I got a call back. So I was like, great, I'll go on The Chase. So this person brings back about $4,000. Then Mary or Sheila, I can't remember what her name was. She went for the higher offer and brought back $54,000. So when they go minus 300 and you'll be a step closer to home, I was like, I need to be in that final chase.
Yeah, you need to be in
that
chase.
So I did do that and I still didn't get home.
I just
took minus 300 off of Mary or Sheila's money.
No.
I think about two questions and then it was like...
It's a very specific dynamic that only exists, well, in Elstree, in the world. It only exists in that one place of walking back from the board... To your teammates who've just seen you take the one. Were they looking at you scowling, thinking like, get rid?
You do that bit where you turn around and you're like, what do you think you should do? They were all like, well, I think you had some hard questions there in the cash, but I didn't. The questions were like, you know, spell dog. And it was like, and then they were like, you can take the middle offer, but we'll back you if you go for the... But they said the thing that everybody says.
Everyone says it, yeah.
I think you're perfectly capable of going for the higher offer, but we just want you back here.
I always think the sign of a bad player, which they're trying to sort of console, is when they go, it's another point in the final chase.
Yeah,
it's another head start. You're another one.
Yeah, I think they'd already thought, she'll be owned by lunch.
Yeah. It's rough.
But so I didn't even get to go back to behind the desk with them because I got caught out. And I just thought you'd go home, but you have to sit and watch the rest of the record.
Oh.
Yeah.
And did they win?
Yeah. No. Do you know what? They got to the final chase and it was down to one question and it was DNA is a song by which British girl group, and none of them got it, but
you'd have known it.
Old minus 300 here was like Little Mix. But I was stood at the, I was stood by the monitors with the adjudicator. Yeah. Yeah.
With the adjudicator.
Yeah.
That's a really sad image, isn't it?
Out, yeah.
Stood by the monitor with the adjudicator.
Yeah.
And then do this a lot, do you? Yeah, well, it's my job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to make a conversation.
Well, I've seen, the thing is, what's it, Olivia van der...
Yeah. Yeah, oh, she does them all.
She's
the
adjudicator.
Yeah,
so I've since met her, like, on other shows, where she's been the adjudicator on, I don't know, blankety blank. But, like, she, yeah. And I've gigged with Paul Sinner. Since who was the
and
chaser?
You were up against him.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it's he
weird...
remember you from that?
Yeah. So I did a gig in Red Hill when I was like starting, and he was the headliner, and I was like in two minds about whether or not to say it because obviously like they record like three in a day.
Yeah.
So I was like, he won't remember, and I was chatting like in the green room with him, and he was like, have we met? And I was like, do you know what? Yes, we have. I was on the chase a few years ago, and he was like, oh yeah, yeah. You went home after taking the minors. He remembered that. And
remembered.
I was like, yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. And then he's really lovely. Like, we've gigged loads together since. He's a really lovely guy. But yeah.
So, Paul Sinner may be coming on the pod in just a few episodes'
time. Word.
I challenge you, Maisie, in our pub quiz team here today, to get a better score than the pub quiz team.
This is my revenge story.
Yeah. I thought it might be a redemption story, but you've gone revenge. You're angry about this.
No, I didn't mean redemption.
You've made this really quite dark, actually.
I definitely meant redemption.
It's going to be a really love redemption story. She's turned it into Kill Bill.
Can we wrap this up? It's just I've got to go and stand outside his house.
So basically, we like to ask our guest what the most interesting fact that they've heard recently. It might be, well, it doesn't have to be recent.
Okay.
Something that you carry with you as a lovely little tidbit.
Well, I found this out after the Paris Olympics last year, of which the breakout star was Ray Gunn, the breakdancer. Sure. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole debate about breakdancing being introduced back into the Olympics. And then they were like, oh, ever since they've stopped being... Because breakdancing is coming back in, which is the first time since there was an Olympic event of art. Arts used to be in the Olympics. Yeah.
Do we know a year?
In the 40s, I think it was like around the end of the Second World War.
Just doing art really quickly?
Yeah. Well, no, so it could be like genuinely.
Speed art?
I don't know why I thought it had to be sort of in like a sport.
Warming up their fingers, just...
Right, we're going to send Neil Buchanan to do a big ass attack in 35 seconds.
Relay, practicing the handover of the paintbrush.
He's pulled his thumb in the build-up. He's out.
Yeah,
No, it's art. And it was divided into categories of like literature, architecture, and then like what we would call art. So there's this person called Jean Jacoby, and she's the only person to have won in two... It might be Jean, actually. It could be French, couldn't it? J-E-A-N.
Yeah.
It's a Jean or a Jean. It's Mary or Sheila. they've won two golds, and, I mean, one of them is called rugby. So all of the art has to be relating to sport, okay?
Okay.
In architecture, there was an event for town planning. You could win an Olympic medal for town planning.
What year was this?
Like, late 40s, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So somebody won for like the architecture of like town planning around the Olympic Stadium.
But the Olympic Games is on for what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
So what you've got 6 weeks to plan a town?
I guess so.
There must be a time limit.
But
on
also,
it.
It's so subjective as well. Yeah. Surely there can't be definitively.
No.
Unless it's like
we could watch a 100-meter sprint.
Like, it's like, oh, that's good, and it's a bit modern, and that's good, but it's a bit dystopian.
But like when you watch the 100-meter sprint and it slows down, and you can see, oh, right, that person won. Yeah. You know, by how are you meant to just measure?
Yeah.
That architecture was much better, actually.
Yeah.
It's
come down to the skirting board.
The
Jean literally two men waiting for their planning permission to get through, and it's where that letterbox goes, and the envelopes come through.
It's a skirting board finish.
It's so bizarre, but there was this drawing that won was, it was called rugby. I've got a picture of it to show you, actually.
Yes, please.
Because it's I'm not sure this is Olympic. So this is it. Jean Jacoby is the only artist to win two gold medals. It's John. He won his second with the above drawing titled Rugby. That won an Olympic medal.
Wow.
That is a sketch for two men.
It might have been speed sketching by the looks of it, Joe.
Yeah. That.
For the pod, Maisie, what are we looking at?
It's a landscape piece on grey paper done with, I guess, charcoal, and it's a sketch of a bloke rugby tackling another bloke. There's not really much more to say.
Mm. I would, not to discredit the achievement, but I would go as far as to say it's a doodle.
Yeah, do you know what?
It looks like a doodle.
And a lovely doodle.
A lovely doodle.
But I don't know if it's Olympic medal worthy. And that's what gets me, is this the idea of John sat in a pub like this with, like, I don't know, an Olympic sprinter. I've got one of those. What did you get yours in? Oh, you did the fastest marathon. You got a world record. Mm. What did you do? Drew rugby, actually.
You may have heard of rugby.
Rugby, isn't it?
I didn't know rugby was a sport. No. The drawing.
Yeah.
Of rugby.
Oh, wow. How many colours did you have to use to win that, John? I didn't use any. Just one pencil.
I've seen guests do better sketches than that when they've got bored during this podcast.
So sport, I think, is going to be, you're going to be a huge asset.
Be all right, sport, I think.
You're going to be a huge asset.
But then it's that thing, isn't it, of like, once you've put that out into the Yeah. Like, you then have to nail it. If you go, oh yeah, I'm good at sport, I've got a football podcast, then they ask a question, you don't know it, you look a right. Yeah. Like them people that go on Mastermind with a specialist subject.
Yeah.
And have an absolute shocker.
Yeah.
I did Celeb Mastermind with somebody who got no questions right.
Really?
Yeah, on their specialist subject. I think his name was Aaron and I think he was from the Traitors. But he picked cephalopods. But it's like jellyfish, octopus and something else.
Oh, yeah. Basically what he's done is like, right, three hearts, eight tentacles, I think we're done here.
Oh, yeah. Then Michelle from Liberty X, she went up. She did Disney princesses. She's got one right.
Ariel.
It's awful. And it's filmed in Belfast. She'd flown all that way to get one. Oh.
What was your special subject?
I did the film This Is England and the subsequent TV series.
Oh, brilliant.
From Shane Meadows. And I came second.
Who won?
Nihal from Five Live. He had an encyclopedic knowledge of Public Enemy.
Wow.
It was the air.
What would yours be?
Unflappable.
Mine, I do think I'd be good on EastEnders.
Do you? Right.
I do think I'd really be
but
good
you'd
on
have to pick an era, surely. You can't go from the very beginning.
I think I...
You don't still watch it now, do you?
I still watch it now, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm really into it. Yeah. I feel like it's pretty bad for most of the year. But it's so worth it when you get to Christmas.
Yeah.
Because all that effort you've put in, in the dark times, you know, in the bad times when the writing's pretty flat, suddenly Christmas time, you're cashing in big
what
time.
What was that live episode? I've never watched EastEnders, but I tuned in for that. It's amazing how quick you pick up the plots, don't you?
And learn about that very specific illness that Martin got when the
which suddenly meant that shock of the blood flow. Yeah.
Basically, Martin, he's in the Queen Vic, he's saving Stacey. A beam falls because the Vic's on fire. It lands on his feet, on his legs, and they need to raise the beam. They say, I'm really sorry, but he might have heavy beam syndrome. And we're like, what's heavy beam syndrome? What's this? And they said, heavy beam syndrome. Well, basically, if we lift the beam too quickly, the blood might rush back to him and he have a cardiac arrest.
And guess what happened?
So the next thing we need to know is, what should our team name be, Maisie?
I hope you get this reference. I really hope so, otherwise it'd be awkward. But me and my husband were like looking for some restaurant on, like, looking to find a restaurant, and it came up with its reviews, you know, on Maps. And the most recent one had been given by somebody whose username was Badger Mushroom. And do you remember that?
I don't know.
How old are you?
25.
How old are you, Jake?
I'm 31.
You should have. I'm 31.
Badger Mushroom.
Badger Mushroom.
Is.
Like, start of, like, internet, sort of, as it is now, and there used to be this video that was just a badger, like a cartoon badger, dancing like this, that somebody had, like, made, and the song would go, badger, 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 and, like, more badgers would appear.
That rings a bell, actually.
And then it would just suddenly go, mushroom, mushroom, and show a mushroom, and then it would keep going, badger, 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 mushroom. It was, well, as you'll... Very quickly picking up, it was shit.
Stuck with you though.
But it's really stuck with me. And I have to really respect somebody that is still navigating the internet today under the name Badger
Early
Mushroom.
Early noughties internet.
Yeah.
Thank God they didn't go with meatspin.com.
I just think it'd be like starting a podcast in 5 years' time called I'm Gonna Sing Cher Lloyd. Like it's such an old...
Yeah, it's lovely.
So it really cracked us up that somebody's still navigating the internet under Badger Mushroom.
Brilliant.
It's poetic, actually.
Badger Mushroom, please.
So each week we get sent a genuine pub quiz from a UK quizmaster. Mm. And our quizmasters today
plural.
Double trouble. James and Richard from the Craven Arms in Birmingham. Have you been to Birmingham much?
I have. I've gigged there quite a lot. I'm there this weekend, actually.
Swing by the Craven Arms.
I might. Yeah.
What day are you there?
Hang on a minute.
Saturday.
Oh, it's Sunday at 7 p.m.
Stay the night.
Stay the night. Yeah. Do the Craven Arms take overnight bookings?
Well, James and Richard, if you've got a spare room, I assume they live together.
Yep.
I assume they're a couple. If you've got a spare room, Maisie would like to stay. Should we put that publicly out there?
Yeah, I'm happy to stay in the pub. I'll sleep in a booth. Whatever.
But also, the plot thickens with when it's on because... So it's always on a Sunday at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
This is the information we've got before or after a significant event that takes place during that month. For example, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day or Easter.
Bloody hell, it is a minefield trying to locate when that quiz is on, isn't it?
They've not made that easy.
So within the month, they'll pick the most significant thing happening in that month.
So it's not every Sunday.
So it's always on a Sunday at 7 p.m.
But not every.
Once a month. And it could be any Sunday in that month, and it will be the one after any significant event.
But does it have to be the most... How do you know what the most significant is?
That's where it...
You know,
where
in April, some would say most significant event could be Easter, it could be April Fool's.
Yeah, if you're a joker.
Yeah. Yeah. In my business, it's Christmas Day. And what a heaven forbid what they do in December.
Oh, my God.
Was it on New Year's Day? You know what I mean? When are they doing their quiz?
Yeah, I don't
if
know.
If it's a Sunday after Christmas Day.
Yeah. You might be one of those people say, "Oh, I actually prefer Boxing Day."
Yeah.
Do we do it? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, guys.
Yeah. James.
So, so if you'd like to go to the quiz at the Craven Arms,
then good luck. So their quizzes are themed. So we've got a mix of rounds from various themed quizzes we have from them. So
we've got a selection box.
Yeah,
nice.
I like it when a quizmaster themes it, because it shows that they fancy themselves a bit, don't they? Also, I think when it's two lads as well, they can egg each other on a bit. They can get a bit carried away. James and Richard.
James and Richard. I don't think they're laddie lads, these lads.
It would be a battle for the mic, maybe, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I love that you have such little faith in the Craven Arms. You can't imagine them having two microphones.
Well, I don't know. I just think surely a quizmaster, you need such authority. Can that level of authority be shared?
Yeah. I don't know.
And it not be to the detriment of the quiz.
Yeah. It's always interesting to see who puts their name first as well. I imagine James is dominating hard.
Yeah. What do you reckon you guys are? Are you Liam and Jake or Jake and Liam?
We switch it up a lot, actually.
Do you? That's nice of you.
I don't think we've got a firm one, have we?
No.
You know, like sort of Dick and Dom or Sam and Mark.
We don't really like labels. We haven't got...
I thought you might have gone for
a bit more fluid.
Yeah. I thought you might have gone for some more highbrow examples.
Yeah. It's good to have some up-to-date references, isn't it?
Skip over deck.
Even still.
What did you say? Skip Dick and Dom.
Dick and Dom. He said Dick and Dom,
Sam and Mark. And then I said, a bit more highbrow, he said Ant and Dick. I thought you might have come from some classic comedy pairing.
I guess the vibe you're still watching CBBC in your spare time.
I thought you might have gone Laurel and Hardy or Morgan and Wise. You were like,
I've gone really embarrassed by
Sam and Mark.
So round one is general knowledge, Maisie. Here we go. So for what the information we got is that this round was taken from their Blue Monday themed quiz. So it's tinged with some sadness.
Blue Monday was their theme.
Yeah, Blue Monday. So this must have been in January, that date in January where nothing's going on, so they were struggling for a quiz, so they thought, well, there's one day that's quite depressing.
That was the significant... Yeah.
So that's what you're dealing with the significant event in January.
Yeah, Blue Monday.
Was Blue Monday. If you went the Sunday after Blue Monday... to the Craven Arms in Birmingham at 7 p.m. They'd have been doing this quiz.
This is not going to be good for the pod, so let's do this afterwards, but I would genuinely love to sit down with a piece of paper and work out what we think. I'd love to compare lists
and then
send
it to them and see what we got.
Actually, do you know what, if you at home want to do the same thing, do list your most significant event and email them into liamandjakequiz@gmail.com.
Cool, should we get into
general
knowledge with the theme being Blue Monday. So question one, we do three rounds with five questions in each round. Question one, in which play is the term star-crossed lovers, referring to a relationship doomed by fate, famously used?
We've got this, haven't we?
I think so, yeah.
We've got this. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Lovely stuff.
That's GCSE English coming through.
It really is. That's lovely. Okay. This is encouraging. This also suggests, James, Richard, I don't think you're lads. I think you're... I don't think you're lads.
I think you're lovers.
I think you're... I do think they're together.
Yeah, I do. I think so.
Do you think Dick and Dom are together, Liam? Do you think Sam and Mark? In fact, email in with those. Email in with your favourite double act and think lads or lovers.
Find out at the end.
Lads or lovers.
There's round three,
lads or lovers.
There's a round of a pub quiz. I just want you to tell me, are they lads or lovers?
So the Sunday after Pride Month in June, we have the Lads and Lovers round at the Cave and Arms. Which species of shark, sharing its name with a Danish territory, is known to be the longest living vertebrate on Earth, with an estimated lifespan of at least 250 years?
That's a gear change.
Normally you have a sort of sliding scale of difficulty, don't you? You sort of ramp it up in increments. They've just gone really difficult. I mean, look, they're talking
about... I know it sounds like I'm reading that awfully, but there's about four different clauses in there.
Yeah, go again.
Which species of shark, sharing its name with a Danish territory, is known to be the longest living vertebrae on Earth with an estimated lifespan of at least 250 years?
I mean, you've got to know here either species of shark areas of Denmark or an extensive knowledge of vertebrates. And I don't really have any of those three. Well, do you know Denmark very well?
Copenhagen.
Yeah.
They own Greenland.
Do they?
Yeah, they own Greenland. So I don't know if that's something we could...
But I don't know if it's...
What species of sharks do we know? Great white.
Hammerhead.
Hammerhead. That's Hammerhead could sound a bit Danish, couldn't it?
Hammerhead could sound Danish.
Yeah.
What's the tinge of sadness with Blue Monday, though, is
it? I was thinking that, but is it just water? Is it just whale in the water?
Deep blue.
Is it just blue?
Yeah. Isn't that... Where's Hammerby FC? Isn't that...
Oh, that might be a Danish
hammer.
Hammer.
I'm just saying hammer.
Yeah. Should we lock in Hammerhead?
We'll lock it in.
Let's lock it in.
We'll lock it in with. There's no like computer or anything. It's just locking it in with our biro. Lock it in.
Normally circling it sometimes. Isn't it? Question three: which novel by Fyodor Dostoevsky
Dostoevsky
explores the struggles of a poor former student who kills an elderly woman for her
what?
Money?
Have you read Dostoevsky?
No,
I've just finished Richard Osman's book.
Is that a prize, was it?
Yeah.
He always puts one of them in when he sends out the prize.
At the end of the long day, I just like to sit in my Richard Osman deck chair, read my Richard Osman book.
Richard Osman shrine.
With a drink
in
made in the Richard Osman cocktail maker.
There's War and Peace, and then there's like Crime and Punishment, maybe?
Okay.
I think it might be Crime and Punishment.
Is that really? Yeah. Is that a book?
Yeah.
I thought that was a TV series.
And it is about...
Oh, no, that's Lauren Alden. Crime and Punishment.
Crime and Punishment is a Russian novel, and Dostoevsky is a Russian author, and it seems to be that this is about the struggles of a poor former student who kills an elderly woman for her money.
Well, that is crime.
And I imagine there's going to be some punishment at the end of it.
You'd hope you'd get a punishment for killing an old lady.
Do you know what, guys? I feel quite confident on that.
It's the thing that's always stopped me doing it.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
That's a time for the punishment.
Question number four.
In which decade did the final guillotine execution occur?
Oh.
Oof.
Right. So.
Oh, it happened. I think it happened in France, actually, quite
late. It's in Les Mis, isn't it?
Mm.
I think it's. I might have made that up.
It's later than you think.
There's always a.
It's one of those ones where they won't have the answer, but they'll go. I tell you what, it's later than you think, and they won't fucking say anything else.
Oh, God, you're so right. Cheers, that's really helpful.
Yeah, that was on the tip of all of our tongues to say, wasn't it? It's later than you think, that one.
Oh, it was just for twat, I've actually said it. Thinking you'd all go, really? Wow, okay.
It's not in the 1900s, is it? People haven't been using a guillotine.
I think there's always that fact that comes out of the first iPhone came out before the final beheading.
That's not true. And I care about you, I respect you, but that is not true at all. That is not true in the slightest.
I just
the
really
final beheading,
see.
What, in England?
No, in France.
In France?
I said France. No, but right, I'm going to look
it
at this.
Just, the silence after it was as if you'd said it at like Christmas dinner. don't know is the iPhone.
Really? People were chopping off heads in public squares at the same time that people were listening to Jerk It Out of the Season.
I hope I'm right.
Is it before or after Badger Mushroom?
And then you jerk it out.
Oh, I so hope I'm right, because I'm sure there's something about the iPhone or Apple, the first Apple product. Oh, right, I don't know, 70?
Surely not.
70-something, I think.
Well, hey, if it's Apple as a company being invented, maybe, yeah, because I think maybe they were created in the 80s. There's not a world where people were getting beheaded at the same time Big Brother was on.
Let's get it verified when it comes to the answers. So let's lock in an answer.
Great.
We've got one more.
When are we going for, then?
Should we all just like...
Oh, it's only the decade. I think 70s.
You think
70s? Which 70s? The 1970s?
Yeah.
Dear.
Yeah.
I think we should all say a decade, and we should find like the
I'm really willing to put my neck on the line.
For the body's winks.
Now we're going.
For the body's winks.
One point.
Do you know what? I've put my neck on the line with Crime and Punishment. If you want to go 70s.
Yeah, 1970s.
Is this mad?
Yeah, I'm going to go 1910s so that we at least have to balance it out somewhere. Sure, the
70s. Wanted to say 1890s.
No, let's go for the 70s.
All right,
let's go for a 70s guillotine.
This is your go for it question.
Let's do it.
Such an idiot. Finally, for the Blue Monday round, in 2022, oil and gas giant Shell reported its highest earnings in 115 years. To the nearest billion, what was their profit?
So
should we just go really high?
So if Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all that, all them lot are worth what, like 300-400 billion?
Mm. Yeah.
Are they? Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah.
So what would someone like Shell be worth? Maybe like as a
company,
like half of them? Half of that?
Do you reckon?
Half of Bezos.
Half of Bezos?
If I give more money to Shell or Bezos in the last year, that's a bleak thought, isn't it?
Yeah, that is really bleak. Yeah. But Bezos, right?
I think so, yeah, Bezos. Sure. Yeah. 200 bill?
Yeah, 200.
200.
Ugh, 200 bill. But yeah. I mean, it's...
This is Blue Monday, isn't it?
It is Blue Monday, yeah.
Right. Let's do the answers then.
Here we go.
Okay.
So, question one. In which play is the term star-crossed lovers, referring to a relationship doomed by fate?
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet. Yeah.
Surely.
Crazy. The species of shark, which shares its name with a Danish territory.
Yep.
With an estimated lifespan of at least 250 years. Now, Jake went in with Greenland early on. We went with Hammerhead. The answer is Greenland.
You're joking, is it
yeah,
really?
It is.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. No.
I'm so sorry.
I should have said it with conviction.
The novel where a student kills an elderly woman for her money is Crime and Punishment.
Well done, Jake.
Thank you, guys.
Now, here we go. In which decade did the final guillotine execution take place?
Please be the 70s.
So, I got laughed at and jeered at.
Yeah.
For the 1970s.
Well, the main jeering came from when you said the iPod was out at the same time as the public.
Something to do with Apple.
Okay. It got vaguer and vaguer.
It got vaguer,
It might have been Windows. Was that
Ask Jeeves, I think, was around at the same time the scissors was invented. I don't know
Steve Jobs was born. The answer is the 1970s.
Well done.
Stop it.
Well done. Well, really well done.
Thank you.
And as we lift you up, we're just going to drag you back down and find out, when was the iPhone invented?
Apple was 1976.
Okay, great.
And the beheading was 77.
Wow.
What a sentence.
You know what? You didn't mean Apple, didn't you?
Apple was 1976 and the beheading was 77, followed by and Apple.
Oh my God.
We're moving me on down void, isn't it?
Oh, the beheading was 77.
I never thought I'd clap a beheading in my life. In my life. And it's happened.
It would have been worse if it was in the beheading was 77. Yes. Get in.
Great.
Oh, I'm chuffed with that. Right.
Please clip that up. And the beheading was 1977. Oh, I'm chuffed with that. Perfect.
In 2022, how much did Shell report as its highest earnings to the nearest billion?
Oh.
We said 200 billion.
Were we anywhere close?
No, it's 40 billion.
Oh.
So at the end of the general knowledge round, we got 3 out of 5, which, Maisie, that's not a bad start, but we've got to remember what we're playing for here. We're playing to beat Paul Sinner.
Yeah, I know. I need to find my A game.
I think Paul Sinner's going to do better than it.
He'd have definitely been all over the shark.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been.
It'd have been right. I'll tell you what, though, it'd have been right with me with 1970s.
Me
and Sinner having a ride
Yeah.
laugh.
Yeah.
He would not let you limp down, saying...
He'd have absolutely got the Apple thing.
He'd have just helped me out. A little bit of support. iPhone, Apple, bang, sorted it.
Yeah, I think great what you mean to say, knowledge. Liam, is... Yeah.
He'd have ribbed you for the iPhone thing, but yeah. If I know Sinner,
I cannot come out of that with a ribbon. You said iPhone, mate. You said you were miles off it. Miles off it.
Round two is Irish movies, okay?
Okay.
So this round was taken from their St. Patrick's Day theme quiz.
Okay.
Lovely stuff. So
that is the biggest event of...
In March, I think, yeah. March. Yeah. I don't think there's anything...
My birthday?
Oh. It goes Liam's birthday then.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Irish movies. Maisie, you're a film fan.
I think I am.
You're a film fan.
And I like going to the cinema.
Yeah, but your mastermind subject was Shane Meadows films.
Yes, I know, but I didn't win.
You sort of know movies. Does anyone, either of you Irish?
I've got Irish heritage.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But I think everybody kind of has, don't they? They go...
You've got to find a reason to
it's,
have
it's the, and... probably the number one thing said on St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? Going, I'm actually a bit Irish myself.
Sure, but no one's like sort of deeply in touch with their Irish culture and roots.
My granddad was from Tipperary. My grandma from Donegal.
Right, well, you've got to be on this then.
That actually felt like I was in the pub at St. Patrick's Day at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah.
My dad's from Donegal. Donegal. And then... Okay, so, Irish films, how are you feeling?
I think okay.
Not great.
No?
I want 4 out of 5 out of this, guys. 4 out of 5 out of this. The only problem is that whilst Liam is Irish, he hates films.
I don't hate films, I just haven't seen many of them at all.
Really?
You think so?
You know what's going to happen. you just know, right, that character's dying. That one's gonna, that one's good, but he's having a bad moment. Have that one's
been,
bad.
Have you never been surprised in a film?
No, maybe that bit in Willy Wonka when the chicken gets his head cut off.
Now we know why he's so across the beheading scene. Just you watching Willy Wonka go, that's not historically accurate.
Don't see an iPhone anywhere, so... Question number one. The all-time highest Best Actor Academy Award winner has held an English-Irish dual nationality since 1993. What is his name? I think I know this.
Yeah.
So it's the person who's won the most Best Actors.
Won the most Best Actors.
Which is Daniel Day-Lewis, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Unless he's Welsh.
No, I think
he's...
Yeah,
I think I think so.
Let's bob him.
Let's bob it in. Pop it in.
Let's bob that in.
Question number two. In a surprising career... A bit of personality from the lads over it. In a surprising career choice, Brad Pitt opted to portray the character of a bare-knuckle boxer in Guy Ritchie's Snatch. What was the character's name?
Oh, he's got the terrible Irish accent, isn't he? He's got a really bad Irish accent.
Right.
He wears a trilby. But that isn't a question.
Put it down.
How good is his accent and what's on his head?
Do we get half a point for bad Irish accent and a trilby?
Jimmy? Yeah.
Jimmy?
Was he called Jimmy? Also, because it's not always
Let's go Jimmy.
Question number three. Finish the famous Liam Neeson Taken speech.
Oh.
Go on, Jake.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want.
Yep.
If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. Why have I done the you like that? But if you don't, something. But if you don't...
If you don't...
It's that like, I will find you.
I will find you.
I will
and then it's, I will kill you.
I will find you and I will kill you.
Is there not three? I will you and I will kill you. No, what do you do between finding someone and killing them?
The thing is, Maisie, to your rule of three there, at the it's following just a couplet. I will not look for you, I will not pursue you, but if you don't...
Oh, then that would make sense. I will find you and I will kill you.
I think so, yeah. I don't know why they would do three, maybe.
Let's go with I will find you and I will kill you.
But you're right, I feel like there's three.
Have you seen this film, then?
No, but I know the famous quotes.
Don't you think, though, look. I will not look for you, I will not pursue you. So that's only two things.
If you don't, I will
they
find
wouldn't
you.
Follow you.
And what's the opposite of looking for you? I won't look for you, and I will not pursue you. I will find you, and I will catch you. No, it won't be catch. No, that's not threatening, is it?
I'm going to catch you.
I will catch you. I'm very fast.
Time starts now.
Yeah. He's not playing Tig, is he?
should we just go with I will find you and kill you?
I think so. I do think so. Number four. Which 2022 film directed by Martin McDonagh?
Got it.
Go.
Banshees of Inisherin. Finish it, though.
Was set on a remote Irish island and filmed primarily on the Aran Islands and the Dingle Peninsula, featuring dramatic coastal landscapes and a story of friendship and conflict. Very good!
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
But also, when you said what the round was, I was like, okay, this is Snatch, Banshees of Inisherin. I'm already struggling of what else is going to come up.
The band Fontaines DC took their name from a character in which film? Very clever. This is interesting, isn't it? Because, go on.
Fontaine. Isn't the... I feel like in Back to the Future, the band that plays, you know, that he joins in and plays the guitar with, and he's like, oh, I don't think you're ready for that yet. I swear.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe I've made that.
I'm happy to go with that. Let's go with Back to the Future.
Oh, well, I think I'm right.
Fontaine's DC, and I think we can all agree it's all on Maisie, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Do you know what's worse as well? What's popped into my head now is it's either the band in Back to the Future or it's the band in Greece.
I think that's a bit too much of a mismatch.
Sorry.
Fontaines in Greece.
I know at some point there's a film with a band where the person's name or the band is called the Fontaines.
I've turned the page, we've got the answers. What are we thinking, guys? Another 3 out of 5, or do you think we've boosted up to 4?
No, we have to boost up to 4.
Yeah. What's Paul going to be doing? Yeah.
Question number one. The all-time highest Best Actor Academy Award winner has held an English-Irish dual nationality since 1993. His name is...
You've got this.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes. Yeah. Well done, Jake.
Here we go. Question number two. Brad Pitt, what was his name in Snatch? We went Jimmy. I did think it was just a first name thing. Yeah. We thought an Irish name. What else do we have in the mix?
Mickey
was the answer. Finish the famous Liam Neeson Taken speech.
So do you remember when I was like,
oh no,
guys,
there's
a couplet. I don't think he'd follow a rule of three with a couplet.
Oh no. Look, if there's, I will find you.
I will.
He even leaned into me with his paper and went, look, mate. After he'd explained it to the table.
Oh, no, almost Shakespeare, like, showing us his rhyming couplets.
It was like being back at school with some extra tuition. He leaned in and went, look, mate, that's a couplet. That's a couplet. So I think it's going to be a couplet.
I will look for you. I will find you. I'll kill you.
It was three.
Yeah.
So I won't look for you, I won't pursue you, but if you don't, I will look for you.
I will not look for you, I will not pursue you.
I think I will find you and I will kill you would have been better.
I think so.
Oh, I'm annoyed about that one.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Sinner would get that.
Yeah, do you think he would?
Yeah, I think he would. Sinner likes
his film. You wouldn't have fallen for Jake's bullshit.
No.
I think he might have fallen.
You were convincing.
He'd have got it straight off the bat, but he might have got distracted by the...
With the level of confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number four. You got it before we finished the question, Maisie. It was the Banshees of Inisherin.
Delighted with that one.
And finally, question number five. Fontaines D.C. took their name from a character in which movie? We thought it would be Back to the Future.
Was it
Fontaines
Grace?
Fontaines D.C., probably fans of Back to the Future.
All on you, Maisie.
Oh, God.
Turns out they're actually fans of The Godfather.
It's
a bit more on brand, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a different film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very different film. So it's a three. We are stuck on three.
Oh, God.
No, it's not. It's a two.
No.
Oh my God,
no,
it's a two, sorry.
No.
Two. Yeah, no wonder it's a two, I can't even fucking add up. It's a two, Maisie,
we've gone down.
We have one round to go, let's take a break from the quizzing for 1 second.
I think we need 5 out of 5 on this last one.
I think we do, to have any chance of competing with the sinner.
Yeah, we need to at least get
it. It's like the chase all over.
We're now trying to get into double digits, basically. Let's take a break from the quizzing for 1 second and just kick back and relax with Maisie Adam. How was your tour? You had one recently.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I did. It was lovely. It was very nice. I finished in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, the Isle of Man?
It's a strange one to finish on. Yeah.
Good audiences in the Isle of Man?
Lovely audience. Lovely audience. I'd never been there before. It's lovely.
No tax either.
No. Yeah. That showed. Yeah.
Throwing money at you at the
end. Yeah, there's a lot of cars that you're like, you're very rich, aren't you? Just driving around the island.
Do you still enjoy touring?
I love it. I really like it.
The novelty never wears off?
No, because every night is genuinely different. I always do 30 minutes of crowd work, then like the break or interval, and then the show is like the main 1 hour. But like that 30 minutes at the start, you really get to like meet different audiences and clock who's in and sort of, it feels like a lock-in. Do you know, like you have a real bond with those people. Like if there's a bunch of teachers on the front row and then there's like somebody whose birthday is up on the balcony, like you get to find out about them all and as the show goes on then in the second half, like it feels really special because certain people are going to relate more to other people. I love it.
Is there certain regions of the UK where it's like a real different sort of people you get in the crowd? Do you really notice that as you go across
100%,
the country?
Yeah, 100%. Like, Liverpool's always really leery. Manchester's always a good laugh. And then, like, Guildford's so posh.
Right. Really?
Yeah, Guildford, they're a little bit older. They don't take their coats off.
They don't take their coats off?
They sit there in their cagoules being like, okay, we'll give you a chance. Yeah. Like, you bought a ticket. Like, and then like I always think going to gig in my hometown will be like, oh, it's gonna be like a homecoming gig. And so I gigged in Leeds, I did the Leeds Playhouse and I was like in the youth theatre there as a kid and it felt so cool to play in like the big room. And it was really, because it's the city, there was loads of people there that like I didn't know. Whereas then I went and gigged in Harrogate, which is like where I grew up, and I filmed it there. I filmed it for my special, and I remember like being in the wings, thinking, who am I going to talk to in the 30 minutes at the start? Like, and I could see out the wings who was in the like box on the left, and it was like four women. They were all in like leopard print. They were all on the white wine. And I was like, there'll be a good laugh. And I think I went out and said something like, oh, we've got loose women in, and got chatting to them. I was like, what do you do? And she was like, I'm a carer. Which immediately you're like, can't really take the mick out of you. So I was like, are you all carers? She was like, yeah, all four of us. And I said, so who do you care for? Like young people, old people, people with special educational needs, like who? And she just went, your grandma. And I was like, what? And my granny lives independently, but has like four people who come and look out for her every day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, and bedtime. And it was those four.
No way.
And my granny had told them to come and see my show. Like, that's peak, like, gigging in your hometown. And so, of course, I was like, that's lovely. But also, if you four are here, the hell's happening with Muriel? probably lying face down at the bottom of the stairs.
Well, because you all made you all
yeah.
made it.
Yeah, yeah. Why are you all here? One of you. One of you should be putting on her foot lotion.
What was your route into comedy, Maisie?
I went to uni to do drama because it was like the only thing I was good at school. I wasn't particularly, well, at all academic. I came out of that like with no agent, going up for roles that like you're never gonna get. Like I was going up and everybody else in the waiting room, like being waiting to be seen, would be represented, and then I'd be there being like, oh yeah, because you have to say at the start like your name and who you're repped by, and it was just really, it was awful. And I'd moved back home with my mum and dad, still up north at that point. And I just felt really like I was going nowhere. I was still working in, I worked in Fat Face. And I just was so desperate to like do something creative, but like with a bit more control, like, which I'm sure you guys can relate to, like you want to put your own stuff out. Because I was going for like auditions to be somebody in the background of an advert for a bank, like not a role where you're like, God, I hope I get it. Just any role. And so I really wanted to just put something up, but I'm not a playwright, I'm not a writer, but I've always loved stand-up. So I think just out of pure desperation to like feel creative and feel like I've done something, I did a local gig, absolutely loved it. But like I didn't know that when you go and do an open mic night, you're meant to do like 5 minutes. And there wasn't open mic near where I lived. It was just a festival. It was actually a literary festival asking for like local artists to submit work.
Oh, cool.
And I emailed in, was like, oh, could I do stand up? They were like, yep, here's your slot. It's Thursday in the Playhouse, 7 till 8. And I did an hour.
What? Yeah. You did an hour?
Yeah, yeah. Because I used to just, when I was working at Fat Face, I used to like print out the till roll and like write down all these like ideas that would come into my head, but I didn't ever know what to like do with them. And so I just wrote it all into one set, memorised it, and then did this. I mean, if we watched it now, it would be a strong 10 minutes spread over 56. Right.
Out of 10.
Yeah. It was, yeah, but I loved it, and then I was like, that's what I want to do.
So when you started doing the open mics and they were saying like, right, so 5 minutes, and you were like, five minutes?
Yeah. I remember applying for gigs in London and they'd email back being like, can you send us a video of your set? And the file was too big to turn. It was an hour long. I had to Dropbox it. And but also, the people who were running open mics down here were like, oh, she's done an hour show in a theatre. She must be all right. So it's sort of like,
yeah,
weirdly it works, because they were like, she must be all right if she's doing an hour and it's full.
And people can see your latest show on Sky.
Yes, appraisal, yes. Filmed with all four of my granny's carers in the.
That was the filmed one.
That was it. Yeah, yeah. So I filmed it in Harrogate at the Harrogate Theatre, and that's on Sky. Yeah.
And podcast with Susie.
Yes.
Just flying, isn't it?
Oh, it's so lovely. It's like great. Genuine. It's just really easy. Well, like you two, if you work with your mate, like it's really easy to just bounce off each other.
I can't wait till that starts happening with us. Honestly, we're going to be loving it.
But it's so nice, and I think especially because we do. So it's sort of, I would say actually quite loosely, it's about the women's game, it's about football, but it's really just for people to know that. I think a lot of people have got into women's football later in their lives because it wasn't something that we played at school, it wasn't something that was shown on TV, it wasn't something that was really platformed, and now since the Euros, loads of people are getting into it in their 30s, 40s, 50s. Like, it's very, very, it's the fastest growing sport in the world. So we wanted to make a podcast where if you've never been to the football, if you've never experienced it before, you can ask a silly question. You don't have to feel embarrassed about going, what does aggregate mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
So Susie is a brand new novice football fan. I've been a fan since I was born. So it's kind of like, that's our sort of dynamic.
I think that's such a great idea because it can seem like such a sort of closed like hobby, isn't it? Football.
Definitely. And certainly like in the men's game, it's quite exclusive and very like, this is our thing.
Yeah.
This is like, they don't like other people getting into it. And the women's game just doesn't have that atmosphere. It's like, yeah, come one, come all. And it's never too late to get into it. And I think, yeah, our listenership is sort of 50-50, like 50% are like me and have lived and breathed it. And then 50% are like Susie, who still calls half time the interval.
So, get an ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to the third and final round
five
of the quiz?
5 out of 5. Come on, lads.
Come on, let's do it.
All lovers.
Okay, so round three is called Loved Britons. So we've got to guess the person from the quote. Okay. So they're all famous Brits from history, and they share a link for a bonus point at the end.
Okay.
And this was taken from their Valentine's Day themed quiz, so this would have been their February quiz.
Okay,
so quote number one. If I have seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants.
Albert Einstein, I think.
Okay.
Standing upon the shoulders of giants. Oasis did it as an album title. Rubbish album. Awful. But yeah, I think it is.
Okay. I love that it's quoted by both Albert Einstein and Liam Gallagher. It's one of the two.
Both got great barnets, to be fair, haven't they?
Yeah. Question two. Let us never consider ourselves finished nurses. We must be learning all of our lives.
Finished nurses?
Yeah. Let us never consider ourselves finished nurses.
It's got to be the big OG nurse.
Yeah.
Florence Nightingale. Yeah.
Great. Oh, this is going well.
This is going very well.
So far.
Number three. It is not the strongest of the species that survives. Not the most intelligent that survives. It is the one that is the most adaptable to change.
I would guess Darwin.
Mm.
Yeah.
That species.
Be right.
Yeah. Darwin or Attenborough. But I reckon Darwin.
Oh, it could be Attenborough.
Darwin. I'm going to go back to question number one. I've just realised it's Loved Britons.
Oh,
it's all about British,
yeah.
French Brits, and I've put Albert Einstein.
He's not Brit, is he?
But I don't think we can
put
that.
You know who it is? Liam Gallagher.
I don't know who it is. So if I've seen
what
further
is it again?
Than others, if I have seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants.
Who's seen further? Galileo, didn't he look at the stars?
He's not British, is he? Yeah.
No.
Isaac Newton. I do think it's about a scientist saying my discoveries are only possible because of what's come before me.
I think you're right. It's a scientist. Obviously, he needs to be.
He's a scientist.
Yeah, he might have just been being humble.
Cliff Richard's not going to say if I've seen further than others, it's because I've stood on the shoulders. Yeah. It's got to be someone who's discovered something. Oh, let's go Newton.
Are you happy with that, Maisie?
Yeah.
Number four, the person, be it gentleman or lady, who has not pleasure in a good novel must be intolerably stupid.
I feel about you in films.
Say that quote again.
The person, be it gentleman,
be
or,
it
lady,
gentleman or lady,
I'm not discriminating. Who has no? Who,
I love that they've clarified after saying person.
Yeah.
Be it gentleman or lady.
The person, be it gentleman or lady, who has not pleasure in a good novel must be intolerably stupid. It sounds a bit Oscar Wilde.
That's
yeah,
very
that
good
is.
Shout. That's a very good shout.
Who has
good
not
shout.
Pleasure in a novel.
Yeah.
In a good novel.
In a good novel.
That's a really good shout. I bet for that.
You enjoy Oscar. Richard Osman, so
yeah,
talking about
true.
You.
Yeah, could be him.
Yeah, Wilde or Osman.
Yeah.
And number five, I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears and sweat.
Oh, bloody heck.
Churchill, was it?
Is it?
I thought so, but I could be wrong.
Or Thatcher.
Blood, toil, tears and sweat. What's toil?
It's good.
What
it's
is
good
toil?
Question. It's just added
toil,
that in.
Toil, I think, is hard work.
Right.
Yeah, but it's got to be older because nobody is going, oh, you've been alright, mate? Oh, I've been toiling.
Yeah.
I don't even think Thatcher would have said toiling, would she?
Yeah.
Should we go Churchill?
It's got to be old. Toil.
Guys, yeah. I think this could be another 5 out of 5.
Surely, come
bonus,
on.
Bonus point for the link.
Oh, okay. So what is that? What are the ones we definitely know?
Well, we don't know if it's Isaac. We're only really sure about Florence Nightingale and Charles Darwin.
Charles Darwin, Florence Nightingale, Churchill.
Well, I don't know why we'd...
Newton.
It's not names of people in a band or something like that.
Call me crazy. But if these are famous Britons, have they all been featured on the notes?
Oh.
Have they been what?
Featured
on
banknotes.
Bank.
Oh, I see.
Churchill definitely is. And wasn't Florence Nightingale on one, I'm sure. Darwin definitely was.
That's a great shout.
Oh, but Jane Austen.
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen's on a banknote, isn't she?
Jane Austen is on a banknote. Should we
and
change
she
that?
Might say the pleasure novel thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's change it to Jane Austen and say banknotes.
Newton, Nightingale, Darwin, Austen, Churchill.
He's defo. I think he's on the fiver, isn't he, Churchill?
So this could be a potential 6 out of 6.
Oh my God.
Which would really
that would be a revenge.
Put the heat
redemption.
On the,
redemption.
Yeah, really put the heat on the cinnamon. So, number one.
Cinnamon. Love it.
If I had seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants. We initially went with
Albert Einstein realised the round was about British people and so quickly reversed and said Liam Gallagher, realised quickly that he wouldn't have said that.
And then when Isaac Newton, which was correct.
Yes!
Come on, right, get it, okay, here we go. On.
Number two, let's never consider ourselves finished nurses, we must be learning all of our lives, Florence Nightingale.
Oh my God, two guys, this is it.
It's not the strongest of the species that survives, that was Charles Darwin.
Get in.
Surely.
Oh my gosh.
The person, be it gentleman or lady, who has not pleasure in a good novel must be intolerably stupid.
Come on, R. Jane.
It is... Jane Austen.
Yes, come on. I think you're right. I think
Maisie,
it's a bad note.
Huge swerve from you there. That's brilliant.
I would say to the House, as I said to all those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, sweat and tears. That was Winston Churchill.
It's 5 out of 5, guys!
But is it 6 out of 6?
Is it banknotes? Is it?
Bonus point for the link. All feature or have featured on...
Yes!
Bank of England. Yes! Banknotes. There we go.
Let's get
in. Oh my God. I literally that feel, is... you know that clip of everyone chucking beers in Beach Park?
Oh my gosh, wow! That felt good.
So, Maisie, that takes your overall score, is that a 16?
That is a comeback.
To an 11 out of 16. I think that'll...
Will the cinnamon drop 5 points? I don't know.
Oh, do you know what,
with me and Jake on his team.
Steering him the other way.
Yeah, if I pay you guys off, surely. If I pay you minus £300.
I think Badger Mushroom should be very proud of 11 out of 16 there. I really do.
Very
Maisie,
proud.
You've been an incredible addition to our quiz
Thank
team.
Thank you.
Before you go, we'd like to ask a little bit of a review of the quiz, how you found it, out of 10. So big thanks to James and Richard, but their quiz, in terms of playability, out of 10, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a 7,
sure.
Because it was very, very enjoyable, mm-hmm. But I think the theme was so loose, drop the theme.
Yeah.
The theme was so loose, drop the theme.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a Monday appear, did we?
No.
There was no questions about a Monday.
No. But there was about Blue Ocean.
It was about Greenland.
I think just drop the theme and go general knowledge.
And also, guys, you obviously love spending time together. You know, if you were to drop the themes, you could probably do a quiz every Sunday.
Drop the theme and do a lads or lovers round.
Yeah.
I think
lovely.
That's got legs.
That's lovely.
And question 5 is them.
Yeah.
Will they kiss when the answer comes up or high five?
I love that. And the craven arms every Sunday. Kiss.
Oh, they shook hands again.
It'd be great the week it changes. What happened this week?
And out of 10, in terms of range of questions, so zooming in now.
Yeah, I do think very varied.
It's
a lot
varied.
Of historical questions, which I'm not very good at. In a very millennial way, I'm very good at questions that have happened around the times I've been here for. Famously, you only really notice stuff when it's happening around you, don't you? I think so.
Yeah. You put famously at the start of that sentence, which made me think I better agree.
Well, you know, you ever watched Billy Elliot and thought, I wasn't here for this? Sounds bad, though. But I think, do you know what I would have liked? More pop culture.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm really lacking in that. I don't think we had any pop culture, to be honest with you. So out of 10...
A seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice generous scoring.
Yeah.
And finally, this involves not just the quizmasters, but also the room, the producer, the hosts, the general vibes. Good vibes out of 10 for your quiz today.
Oh, today? Yeah. Oh, it's been a 10 out of 10 day.
Oh, amazing.
No, it absolutely has. Should we say that I ordered a water at the start because I didn't know what the vibes were going to be, and the lads were like, no, come on, let's have a beer.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like I'm giving it a 10 out of 10 because I got a beer. Now it sounds like I've got a problem.
I'm just chuffed that we've been called lads.
All of us.
Find out after the pod. Maisie, we have loved having you.
Thank you. This has been
a wonderful, wonderful way to spend a sunny afternoon.
It's been delightful.
Please come back again and quiz again, maybe.
Thank you. I'm off to Egg Paulson's house now. Bye.